What I want to talk about today is what it means to be led by the Spirit. You've probably heard this idea, the Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, and sometimes it's just jargon. What does it actually mean, and how do you do it? And that's what I'd like to talk with you about today. The first thing is there's a struggle. And Paul, in this passage that they read out of Romans chapter 7, is describing this struggle. The things I want to do, I don't do. And in a sense, it's every person's struggle. How many of you can identify at one time in your life with what Paul was talking about there? Yeah. He's talking about a reality of struggle and an inability, seemingly, to do what we know to do, to live up to our own values. And what he's describing here is a person who is living in the power of the flesh. And we've all been there. And sometimes we go back there and live there again. And what it's helpful, I think, to do is to understand the difference between living motivated by the flesh, empowered by the flesh, and living motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote, and I think this is about his life before he discovered the power of the Spirit. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. In my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Frustration. You felt it. I felt it. Is that the normal Christian life? Is that basically the struggle that we are always going to have, and does it get any better? And the answer is yes. The Spirit of God comes to empower us. It doesn't mean we don't have a struggle, but it means we now have the power to fight the struggle with success. Romans chapter 7 concludes, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then in Romans 8:2, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death." Let me talk about this term flesh. The NIV translation generally translates it sinful nature. All the other translations practically translate it as flesh. Paul uses this term in four different ways, just to confuse us, four different ways in his writings, and you're probably familiar with some of these uses. First of all, as muscle tissue, you know, that which overlies our bones. And then as human beings, like all flesh, you've heard that expression, all human beings. Sometimes he uses it of the body in general. But in the passage we're looking at, I counted 13 times that he uses this term flesh in the first 12 verses of Romans chapter 8. It's a key thought here. What does it mean? Flesh, when Paul talks about it this way, he's talking about our fallen, sinful nature. That part of us that is essentially selfish. Now, if you have a kid, the kid starts by saying, "Milk." And the world centers around that child, the child's world at any rate. What I want, I need, I cry for, I pester my parents enough so I get it. Unfortunately, we can grow up and still be centered around ourselves. If you think about the media that we watch on television or in movies and all of that, we see a value system based on I need to get pleasure. I'm seeking happiness in life. That's my goal. That's the highest value. It's for me. It's mine. My thing. And that kind of attitude started when we were a baby and developed. And unless somehow God changes that in us, that's our essential orientation, is towards us. And so it's no wonder that we get into trouble, because in us there is this active rebellion against God. Sometimes it's passive. Oh, I believe in God, sure. I go to church too. But there's this kind of hostility in us towards God if God gets into our space. And we kind of resent. I'm just talking about myself. You guys aren't like this. We sometimes kind of resent God trying to get us to fly, you know, fly right. Romans 8:7 says, "The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so." Over in James chapter 4, verse 4, Apostle James is really strong here. He says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." I don't know if you've ever thought about it in those kind of stark terms. See, we live in a culture that says, you know, self-gratification is the highest goal. Self-actualization, Maslow put it. That's the highest value, the highest goal for a person is to fulfill yourself. And then we serve Jesus Christ, who says that the highest goal is to give up your life to serve the Lord and receive His life. It's a completely diametrically opposed value system. One is living in the flesh. The other is living in the Spirit. If you can catch that there is a difference. One of the problems we have is we live in this culture, in this world, and we've learned to kind of go along with it because you don't want to be a weirdo or a fanatic. But the problem is we can adopt the value system of the culture that we live in, so that we're no different and have no different value system, actually, than the other people around us that don't know God. And in the process, we end up living in the flesh, as Paul would put it, motivated and guided by a self-centered value system rather than one that surrenders to God. Hostility. Now, when you carry that to its final conclusion, you get really messed up. Now, a lot of times we recognize where it's going and stop it before it gets quite there. But we're in this huge struggle that goes on in our life, putting on the brakes, but still kind of liking it. Let me read what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You fill in the blanks, you see. What he's saying here is, if you follow this me, myself, do my thing value system to its logical conclusion, it gets you deep, deep, deep into a mess. And the result of it is death. Some of you here have, you know what it's like to be caught in that. And some of your lives, praise God, are stories of redemption. Because you've been there and God has pulled you back and filled you with the Spirit and changed your whole life around. But the logical fruit of that direction is a messed up life. The question is, do we have to be in the grip of the flesh that is controlling us all our lives? And the answer of Paul in this chapter is absolutely not. Paul says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then he says the next sentence, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, who has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is a better way." That's the bad news. Now, how does this work? How do we live in the Spirit? I think the first thing is to realize that when we become Christians, the flesh, that is that old nature that is self, revolves around self, it is not exterminated. It would be nice if it were. It'd be nice if, you know, God went and shot it and it, you know, keeled over and is gone. Unfortunately, that isn't the way it works. The flesh, that old nature, is still part of us because we are made up of patterns and habits and memories and experiences of life. And so our fallback state is living in the flesh. And if we stop following the Lord, we're very soon back to a life that's centered around the flesh. So it isn't exterminated. What God does is he forgives us and he cleanses us, and then he puts a power source in our life so that we now have power to live somewhere different than in the flesh. If you're here today and you're in the midst of the struggle, and maybe some of those fruit results of living in the flesh are in your life right now, or way too close to you for comfort, I have good news for you, and that is this. It's all about forgiveness. It's about what God did. We celebrated the Lord's Supper just a few moments ago, which celebrates the forgiveness of sins. Jesus died for your sins. What I'm talking about here isn't about salvation. You know, if you're good enough and if you yield to God enough, you'll be saved. No. It's about life. It's about your life becoming transformed and have a whole different kind of result. Paul says in Romans 5:16 about the work of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature, or the flesh, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature, the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you were led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." See, what God has done now, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and starts to generate change and direction. And it's contrary to the old way we used to live. What's more, it's much more powerful. If we yield to the Holy Spirit, it's we can see change. Our problem is that we don't yield to the Spirit, follow the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and so we're stuck living the old way. And we fall back into that. Praise God, there is a different kind of fruit. And you know this passage, the fruit of the Spirit, that is, yielding to the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, following the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. No law against those things, Paul says. So I guess the choice then is, what do you want in your life? What result do you want in the way you live? Because I know from personal experience, and many of you do too, that trying to live in both worlds doesn't work very well. You end up beat up and messed up. You don't really experience the fruit of the Spirit in any kind of completeness. And you're sort of miserable in the middle. Oh, wretched man that I am. You have that experience. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got to learn, if we want this kind of fruit, we've got to learn to follow the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. And say, what does that mean? It's a Christian jargon. It's mumbo jumbo. What do you actually mean? So let me try to spell it out, because the answer is found in the Spirit of God. The first step in understanding this is we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When we open up our life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, the Spirit of Christ, God's presence. Now, let me just say this for a moment. You may be here this morning, and you're a believer in God, but have never really opened up your life to Jesus Christ and asked him to come in to your life and change your life. I can remember as a boy, grew up in church. There was a time when I was a believer, but God made me acutely aware that I had never really surrendered my life to him. I believed in him. It was an intellectual assent. Yes, there is a God. But I'd never really said, yes, come into my life. I give my life to you. You may be here this morning. Maybe you've been in church all your life or part of your life. But maybe that's what's going on in you. Maybe you've never really opened up and let the Holy Spirit come in so that you can live in the Spirit, rather than have all this other stuff that you're fighting with and don't seem to have the power to be able to get above. Maybe that's what's going on. It's not necessarily true. It could be that you have received Christ, opened up your life to him in reality, but somehow haven't discovered how to be led by the Spirit. God knows what your situation is, and whichever it is, he's able to help you, praise God. You, however, I'm reading from Romans 8, 9 through 10. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your spirit is alive. Something happened. So, what? This has helped me. I titled this, "We Don't Owe the Flesh Nothing." Let me read this and talk about it. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, or we are debtors, or we are mortgaged up to the hilt, not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Now, I don't know how many times as a pastor people will say to me, well, nobody's perfect. You know, there's no way that you can live without sinning, so why try? It's a lost cause. You know what that is? That is a cop-out that comes from Satan, not from the Word of God. The truth, as I understand it in Scripture, is this. We can live in the Spirit. We can live without sin. We can. Say, oh, no, we can't. Yes, we can. Do we sometimes mess up? Yeah, we do occasionally. I do. You probably do. But that's the exception, not the rule. If you want to live in the exception and say, well, there's nothing I can do about it, so I'm just, you know, I'm not going to worry about the sin stuff, you've just taken in a lie and are living it. It's not going to help you. You're going to be messed up in that same thing, the results of the flesh that Paul was talking about. That's where you end up when you live that way. You have to say, God, you can help me. There is help in the Spirit, so teach me how to do it. Teach me how to do it. Now, I was really interested as I've been studying this, and our men's discipleship breakfast has been studying this the last several weeks. And by the way, if you want more of this, 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday mornings, Denny's at Rockland Road. Come on and join us as we're working through this, trying to understand and internalize it for our lives. What does it mean? So I'm starting to look at the words. The first word is led. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Galatians 5:18. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what does it mean to be led? I think it helps me to look at it this way. Allow yourself to be led. If you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit, you will have power from the Spirit. Now, there is this kind of pig-headedness about some of us that finds it difficult to allow ourselves to be led. Ask my wife sometimes. You never have that problem, do you, Brian? No, good. I'm glad. We're so pig-headed, we don't want anybody to tell us anything. I'm going to do my thing my way, and don't get in my way. If we do that towards God, we're out in the cold, dear friends, and it doesn't work. So first, be led by the Spirit. Allow God to lead you. Put yourself in a frame of mind where you say, okay, God, I will be led. Show me. Now, there's another word that's used here, and that's to walk. But I say, Galatians 5:16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So what does that mean? We've got this idea of being led, and now we have this idea of walking with the Spirit. And I thought about that, and I said, oh, yeah, that was Jesus' thing. He said to his disciples, follow me. That's what the Christian life is about. It's not a religious thing in the sense that, you know, we go through certain rituals or motions of some kind and then we're okay. That's not about that. This is actually about following Jesus through his Spirit lives in us. This is not rocket science, dear friends. This is fairly simple once you get it. One of my favorite stories in New Testament's in John 1. Andrew sees Jesus preaching and doing miracles, and he's really impressed. And he says, Rabbi, where are you staying? Where can I find you? Give me your street address and your cell phone number, please. And Jesus doesn't give him, it's the third street down on the left across from the baker's. He doesn't tell him that. He says to him, come and see. I think that's so cool. If you want to find out where I live, come and see. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to lead you. You come along. And you'll learn. That's what the Christian life is about. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. See, the Christian life is essentially an adventure. That's the slogan of Adventure Christian Church, and rightly so. The Christian life is an adventure. It's kind of walking with the Lord and saying, okay, God, what's next on our adventure? Where are we going? Come and see. Be led by the Spirit. See, that's a whole lot different than I'm going to self-actualize myself by da-da-da-da. That's a whole different kind of thing. Okay, God, where are we going? I like to go camping. And when I go camping, sometimes, unless the budget has been cut too much, there's a nature walk. And so the ranger so-and-so is going to have the nature walk at such and such a place at such and such a time, and a bunch of people show up. And it's really interesting to watch how a nature walk works. You have a bunch of people, little kids particularly, that, kind of run along ahead. And then there are some people that sort of lag behind. They're not really listening. They're just sort of taking a walk. But there are some that cluster around the ranger and listen to him or listen to her explain it. And those are the ones that are walking with the ranger and being led on that walk. The others are just sort of along for the ride, but they're not really on the walk. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I can see myself one of those that have lagged, or I can see myself sometimes as one of those that's run on ahead, I know where we're going, sure. But it's an adventure, and he's the leader. There's another term that we see, which is abide or remain with. John 15, 4 through 5. Abide in me as I abide in you. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. So abiding. Another concept is to set your mind. Romans 8:5. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. So we've got these concepts of following, being led, walking with, abiding with, focusing or setting our mind on. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. The real question is, okay, if that's what it is, good, but why should I do it? And the answer to that is because the Spirit supplies the power to overcome the flesh. You don't have the power to overcome this powerful old nature that you lived in for years. I don't have the power. You don't have the power. But the Spirit has the power. And when we will walk with, abide with, be led by the Spirit of God, we will have the power. What kind of engine is this, by the way? Ford. Ford what?
Cobra.
How many horsepower does it have? 410. Enough.
On a good day.
On a good day. Enough horsepower to do you some good. Now, I had a guy in the church I pastored in Southern California. He is an old guy named Leroy Leland. He used to work for PG&E. Anybody work for PG&E here? All right. He used to drive a truck for PG&E from the San Fernando Valley up over the Grapevine and down again to Bakersfield before the highway was built. Without power steering, without power brakes, shifting up, shifting down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Took him all day to get to Bakersfield. Thank God for power brakes. Have you ever driven a truck without power steering? Yeah. You ever tried to stop a truck without power steering or stop a car without power steering? Power brakes, too. See, without either, you're sort of steering and trying to stay out of the way. It's hard. This is a great analogy for me because when you put your foot on the brake, you don't have to supply the power. All you have to do is tap it. You know, you get in a new car with new brakes, and man, that baby stops. You know, you're used to pushing. It needs its brakes adjusted. See, the difference between living in the flesh is trying to do it on your own power. But as we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, His power kicks in. And now it works. How does this happen? None of this is new. I just hopefully it starts you to understand, get a different concept. It starts, I think, with a quiet time with the Lord, beginning of the day. At least some time with the Lord at the beginning of the day. You may be a night person, but hey, you need to start your day with the Lord too. You might want to do some of your reading in the evening if you're a night person, but prayer, Bible, meditation, prepare yourself for the day. Deliberately take some time to listen to what the Spirit's saying to your heart. So you're ready to walk with the Lord that day. It's an adventure. So it begins with preparing yourself for that adventure following the Lord. Not just sort of, well, I'm doing my thing today and God wants to come along, He can. No, no. Where are you going today? I want to be ready for it, Lord. I'm going to follow you today. Now, if you're still struggling, I have some encouragement for you. First of all, that fruit has a way of ripening gradually. It doesn't all happen overnight. And so if you find yourself in this struggle, don't give up or think, you know, well, you know, God must not be with me. Oh, that may be the issue for you, but for most of you, you've opened up your life to Christ. You just haven't learned how, on a regular basis, a daily basis, to implement this. So you're learning. Sanctification, or becoming more like Christ, letting His holiness infiltrate your life, it's a gradual process. It is a life habit. We don't just overnight everything's different. But you see, if we start to get into a life habit of yielding to the Holy Spirit, things start to change. Fruit starts to grow. Fruit starts to ripen. The habits and the lifestyle that we live for maybe 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 years starts to drop away by disuse and no longer is our way of life. It's a matter of learning to walk. We start kind of shaky, need a little assist. If you're here and you need a little assist in the Christian life, they're brothers and sisters here for you. Dave Breschen, come on up here, would you? Dave is one of those people who assists people in the Christian life. Just stand over here so people can see you. You may be here and say, I need an assist. After the service, come on over to Dave. You may be here and you're not sure if you're a Christian. Hey, one of the things God's speaking to your heart and revealing to you, praise God, today's the day. Come over and talk to Dave after the service, and he'll help you come to Jesus, teach you how to do that. So we start kind of shaky, and then gradually get a little bit steadier, and then a little bit more coordinated, and then finally come to a place of maturity. Now, that doesn't mean that we never kick over a hurdle. I mean, occasionally we do, okay? But most of the time, we're jumping them because the work of God has grown in our life. The question I have for you today is, are you living primarily in the flesh or in the spirit? And if you answer that question, well, you know, frankly, I'm living mostly in the flesh, there's good news for you. You can walk in the Spirit, and the Lord will help you and encourage you. You may be here today, and you really don't know if you've ever really opened up your life to Christ. Today's the day for you. I want to invite you today to open up your life to Christ. And I encourage you, after the service, come on over to Dave and say, Dave, I want to learn how to open up my life to Christ. I need to do that. And he'll pray with you and help you with that. There are blessings of following the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, Dad. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. You can walk by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. And in doing so, you will live. Father, speak your word to our heart. Help us to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.